I have the pleasure of welcoming Janu Thomas this morning to be teaching. And as he comes up here, I like to give credit where credit's due, and I'm a big guy on street cred. And I've been sitting under Apostle for many, many, many years, and you know, was a young man when I first knew him. And one of the main things that I've always learned from him and that he always teaches is, if you have an idea or you want to see something changed, or God's dropped something in your spirit and you want to bring real change, you write out your vision and you come and sit with him and the leaders and the elders of the house and you share your vision. And I've not seen a lot of people do that. I'm not discrediting anyone else. I'm just saying there's a lot of people who have had good ideas, but they don't follow through with that part. And I want to give Janu credit, because Janu has gone above and beyond with what God has put in his heart for this house and for what God has put in his heart to just bring some shift and some change and to bring a little bit more order to what we do. But again, he did exactly what Apostle preaches, and you know, I want to give you credit for that, Janu, because I think that's incredible. So let's welcome Janu this morning.
Thanks, Ian. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I feel, the Spirit's heaviness, the heavy presence of God, and you know, I even felt like weeping while I was over there. Just let's ask for more. Father, in the name of Jesus, more, Lord. The thick Shekinah glory of God descend on this place, in this house, O Master, in our lives, God. As we are studying about the Holy Spirit, is a series dictated by Thee, Lord, I pray that You'll truly once again release the glory of the latter house upon this house and to spread across the nation, O Master. Lord, we thank You, O God. We are desperate, Lord. Take over, O Father, Son, Holy Spirit, take over this time, Lord. Less of me and more of You, Lord, all of Thee, O God. Jesus, O God, we are desperate for You, Jesus. We need the Spirit, Lord. We need to be the salt and light in this earth, O God. Make us effective. Increase and enlarge our influence, O God. Enlarge our borders, O God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank You, Jesus. So we, from the direction of Apostle Clay, we have started a series on the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to continue on that. Again, thanks to all the leadership and the people here, because, you know, thanks, Ian, for the compliment, but without you all, we can't do this either. And so I thank God for we getting to the place where we jointly fit together and going to operate as a powerful people. Hallelujah. So I want to talk to you about the different facet or dimension of the Holy Spirit today. And go to the next slide. And in Apostle Paul says, may the love of the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forever. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit is so critical for us today and forever. Why? Because if without that fellowship, we can't get to the place of our destiny, we can't accomplish the purposes that God has ordained for us. So Holy Spirit is such a critical component, is a critical person in our walk, in our journey of life. Without Him, we cannot reach the destiny that is ordained for us. So the Holy Spirit, the fellowship, the Apostle Paul is saying the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, meaning the camaraderie. He's like a confidant. He's our friend. He's our comforter. He's our helper. Another word is helper. You see, in this world, there are several tribulations, okay? There is no escaping that. But the good thing is that God has given us His Holy Spirit to comfort us. You know, I used to think, why the word comforter? Because this life on earth is not comfortable. It's very difficult. And in this tough terrain of journey of life, we need a comforter to comfort us. How many of you will volunteer to go to the dentist and say, hey, you can pluck my teeth or tooth out, you don't need to put the anesthetic, the painkiller? Is anybody bold enough to do that? No, it's too difficult, right? So Holy Spirit is like that comforting balm, the anesthetic. Without Him, it's tough, my friends. Because of the tough terrain of the journey of life, God has released His comforter to be that anesthetic, the comfort balm over the pains of this life. Go to the next verse. Yes. I'm not seeing any verses there. John 16. Sarah, would you want to do the PDF file? Because there's a verse. on there. So in the meantime, let me tell you this. Jesus said it is advantageous. That's what John 16 says. It is of advantage to you all that I go away and then release who? The Holy Spirit. Why? Why was that? Because, see, Jesus, during his time on earth, was limited by the geographic location. He could be in Jerusalem, but there were people in Samaria who needed him but couldn't have access to him. There was a geographical barrier that stopped Jesus. But now Jesus is saying, all the limitations are going away. I'm sending you the helper. You can have him in the morning, and I can also have him at the same time. All-pervading, all-encompassing Holy Spirit now released so that we can have full access to the privileges as sons and daughters of God. Amen. So if you look at the three persons in the Trinity, the Father, after the 6 days of creation, he looked at everything and said, it is good. And in Genesis 2:1, actually he says, it's finished. The works of creation was complete. It's finished. The Son also, the second person of the Trinity, after the works on the cross, after the crucifixion, he also said what? It is finished. But the third person of the Trinity has not yet said it's finished, because it is not finished. Until the Holy Spirit will release and reveal all that the cross has accomplished, it is not finished. Because, as you might have heard, it's not, the Acts of the Apostles should be named the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit here today is about revealing the finished works on the cross, the manifestation of what Jesus finished on the cross. And until that work is complete all over the world, he's not finished. So he's continuing his work to manifest what the cross has released to the world. Hallelujah. Keep going. Next verse, please. Next slide. So, as I said, it's really the new covenant is the acts of the Holy Spirit manifesting all that the blood of Jesus Christ and the name of Christ has accomplished in this world. Amen. And so my main topic today is, how do we cooperate with the Holy Spirit so that we can fulfill the purposes of God and God can get us to where we need to be? Because that's where I feel many of the people the church is missing, how to yield and cooperate with the Holy Spirit. We miss the timing. We miss the sensitivity to the Spirit. We make a mishmash out of things at times, and we are out of place and out of order. But then the Holy Spirit reveals through the Scriptures how do we cooperate with Him, and how do we walk in step, in line with Him, so that we can be mighty Joshua generations. See, the difference between Joshua and Moses was this. Moses had the promise, but he couldn't take the people to the promised land. But Joshua generation was different. Joshua took the people to the promised land because he was extremely sensitive to the Holy Spirit and accomplished the purpose of God. Hallelujah. Next one, please. It's not that the Holy Spirit just came suddenly on the day of Pentecost. We see the Holy Spirit and his person first in the book of Genesis chapter 1. It says the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. We see the revealing of the Holy Spirit right in the book of Genesis. Hallelujah. So the Spirit of God hovered around an earth that was out of order. This planet was what? Just a planet of water. But then the Spirit of God hovered over. God spoke. Land and sea came to existence. And then the order started to come in. If similarly, like last time I preached, when the Holy Spirit hovers around a person's life, if you welcome the Holy Spirit, things are going to fall into order. That's why we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in our lives, O God. Because without God, it is a total chaos. With God, what happens? Order starts to fall into place. Just like the earth. Look at the other planets. Man is trying to tap into Mars and Venus and the other planets. But the issue is, until the Spirit of God hovers around, there can be no life there. There can be no habitation there. All these guys can say whatever they want, but it's not going to happen. Because the Spirit of God has to hover over. If not, it is a heap of ruins. That's how I call it. Look at the planets like Mars. Nothing can exist there, really. Keep going. Next one. So we see the Spirit of God in Genesis at first, and then we see in the Old Testament his presence being signified as a pillar of fire. So at the camp, at the distance from the camp, the pillar of fire signified the presence of God in the Old Covenant. But then the pillar of God, the same fire of God, from distance moves closer to the New Testament. Next slide, where you see what? We see the tongues of fire, the same pillar of fire that sat on the tabernacle or in the camp, now sits on us. No longer on a building, no longer on a tent, it is now sitting on the individual believer. Not only sitting on, but also living in him. So the spirit of the pillar of fire now becomes tongues of fire and rests upon us. So that we become carriers of his presence, carriers of his glory. So the Spirit's goal is, as I've mentioned before, now to fully release us as sons and daughters of God with no limitations. That's what Jesus said. You will do what? Greater works than me. Hallelujah. The greater works, meaning he's not going to take or remove any privileges from us. He's going to give us full inheritance in Christ. We are going to operate as full divine beings, and then we are going to execute God's purpose on earth. So the pillar of fire now moves to what? As tongues of fire and rests upon us. Not at a distance anymore, but within us. Next one, please. We see suddenly a sound like a mighty rushing wind came from heaven, filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw tongues like flames of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Hallelujah. So you see how the wind and the fire of God works. And as Apostle Dutch the other day during the conference preached, the times of refreshing will come when we repent. The times of refreshing, again talking about the wind of God. Once you are again back into order, what happens is the wind of God hits you and quickens you, and you have a fresh new energy, fresh new resolution for God. If without the fire of God, what happened to believers is they're cold as ice. It's a tough place to be. Because I tell you what, the Western church has taken the Holy Spirit too lightly. It has been too lightly, meaning they played it too easy on the Holy Spirit. I mean, I'm going to get to that because, you know, I was almost crushed as I was preparing this message when the Holy Spirit showed me some things about, you know, the whole Christendom, how we have so taken the Holy Spirit for granted. And so the Holy Spirit is a person. He's a critical person in the Trinity, and God has released the Holy Spirit so that we know how to cooperate with him and fulfill the purpose and destiny we have in God. Next verse, please. Thank you, Jesus. So there was recently a prophetic word released on Facebook, and the prophetic word was this. I'm not exactly quoting it, but something like this. Said, I came as a dove earlier, but now I descend like fire on people. So the degree of what the Holy Spirit is doing has gone to a different level. It's no longer a dove-like, gentle. Yes, he is that. But now his dispensation of fire has been released. That's what John the Baptist said. He who comes after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Fire. It's all about the fire, my friends. Because if the church would seek to do the work of God with the fire and anointing of God, we will shake the world. We will turn the world upside down and right side up if we would seek to do the work of God with the anointing and the Holy Spirit. And John knew this very well. See, a lot of churches, you know, we have Mormon church, we have Jehovah's Witness church, we have Presbyterian church. All of these are churches. But what's the difference between the blood-bought church? We have the fire of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of religious movements, but that doesn't do a thing. Why? If transformation doesn't happen to individuals, to societies, to families, to cultures, to nations, this is all in vain. That's where we need the fire of the Holy Spirit, and we need to check periodically our level of impact upon what we are doing. If we don't have any impact, that means the fire has been quenched. The fire has left. And we need to cry out and say, God, I need the fire. Without fire, I don't want to even move forward. I need it, oh God. And he will baptize you fresh with Holy Spirit and fire. Jesus. Hallelujah. And I'm going to read this verse a little more. Verse 12, it says, he's ready to separate the chaff from the wheat with his winnowing fork. He will clean up the threshing area, gathering the wheat into his barn, burning the chaff with never-ending fire. See, what, first of all, the fire of the Holy Spirit, what for the main function, I would say, is refining of the church. When we welcome the Holy Spirit, he is going to do a work in you. He will purge you clean. But you have to be willing. Many people don't want to go through that process. We are ready to jump and shout and holler, but we don't want to go through the purging process of God. If you allow the Holy Spirit's fire to refine you, you will come out as gold. Go to the next verse. Let's look at this verse. He is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver. Why? So that they may present to the Lord offerings in righteousness. This is the first work of the fire of the Holy Spirit. Refining of ourselves. Before we can do ministry, we got to get refined. Before we can evangelize, we need to be fully refined. What are we talking about, right? A lot of people are running around the cities and nations, but there's no power. What's the point of, you know, having a busy itinerary if there's no power? So we need the fresh fire of the Holy Spirit, number one, to refine us, to purge us clean, to purge our foundations. Why? So that we can present our offerings in righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. Next one, please. Next word. Next slide. So the next facet of the Holy Spirit, first I said, is refining or purifying you with the fire. And the next fire, what it does is power. Apostle Clay had already started off with saying about the power. Endured with power. This is another big aspect of the Holy Spirit fire, that when true baptism of the Holy Spirit happens upon your life, you are going to be endued with great power. And that's what Apostle Paul said in Romans 15. He said, listen, we didn't go around preaching the gospel by words only. He said, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God. Someone say power. By the power, he said, he fully preached the gospel of Christ. Why am I saying this? Because we desperately need to sit in the presence and be clothed with power. Disciples hung out with Christ for 3 years, but yet Christ said, you're not ready. He said, go and tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from above. We see a lot of denominations doing work, noble work, but the problem is there's not enough firepower, because they have not been clothed with the mantle of power. Next word, please. 1 Corinthians 2:4. Again, Paul emphasizes why we desperately need the fire of the Holy Spirit. He says, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. Jesus. Oh God, I don't want to preach, to be honest with you, if I don't have any power. I would rather sit at home. I don't want to just come here and talk to you some intellectual stuff. It doesn't bring transformation. The fire has to fall down, purge your inner man, to clean your conscious, subconscious, unconscious states, and make you a firebrand for God. If transformation doesn't happen, it's all in vain. Endured with power. Hallelujah. Next one, please. And he goes on to say in Acts 4:31, I wish one of these days it would happen, I feel, at City Gate, that when we pray, as like that them, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God in boldness. Another feature of the Holy Spirit is boldness. How many of us are ready to risk our lives or even our jobs or anything to speak about Christ? It's tough. It's definitely tough. I'm not saying I can easily do that either. But what does that mean? We need more of the fire. That's why even Apostle Peter said, Lord, there are people out there, but we need your firepower to do what? To preach with boldness. It's not easy, but we need more of the Spirit. When we see we are shrinking in fear, we got to get into the presence of God asking for more of the fire. It's very easy to do church inside, but what do we do outside? Hallelujah. So in Acts 1 says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. See, when the Holy Spirit comes upon a person, he releases a power that is not upon your natural flesh. The super comes on the natural and makes you do supernatural work. So it's not us. All we do is we yield, then the super comes upon our natural flesh and we move in the supernatural. Hallelujah. So keep going. Next slide, please. So three types of operations we see in the Bible about the Holy Spirit. Number one, the Spirit of God was operating to man at first, towards man. If you look at the early parts of the Bible, it was more there was a little distance when the Spirit of God was operating in man. It was toward the man. Then what happened? The Spirit of God came upon man, and now finally the Spirit of God in man, where we now fully operate as kings and priests on earth. So it started with Spirit of God striving with man early on, bringing him conviction, telling him, hey, get away from the path of error, come to the truth. And then we see special men of God here and there, like Samson, Daniel, David, Joseph, where the Spirit of God comes upon them, where they prophesy, they operate in wonder, signs and wonders, the Spirit of God upon man. But then, see, God didn't stop there. You know, I'll tell you why God didn't stop there. If you look at Samson, the Bible says the Spirit of God would come upon Samson on different periods, and he would move in great power. But guess what? Afterwards, he goes back into the natural. So God realized, he knows this, but we have to realize that it was not enough. The operation of the Spirit of God just upon man wasn't enough, because he was able to do exploits here and there, then he would go back to the flesh. He could kill the lion and bears, but he couldn't tame Delilah. So there was stuff where the Spirit of God would come upon man periodically doing the work, but he couldn't consistently walk with God. And so God even removes that obstacle and does what? On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes in his fullness upon man, now releases the Spirit in man, in every person who receives it. Hallelujah. Now the tongues of fire descends upon you, and he takes dwelling in you. And that's what Jesus said in the book of Psalms. You are God's now. You are under the leadership of the great King and the great God, and now you operate in divinity, fullness of divinity. So what Samson couldn't do, someone else did. Who did? Samuel did, right? See, but the big difference is, yes, it's good to have the Spirit of God coming upon us. We need it. But we also need the Spirit of God in us. The reason being, the Spirit of God in us, the seed of the God in us, would develop the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's one thing to move in great power and might and signs and wonders. But if we don't have the character and the image of Christ following, we will lose it very soon. And that's what Samuel had. Samuel had the fruit of the Holy Spirit. He operated in love, joy, peace, patience. He wasn't like Samson, just operating as a shooting star here and there. So the Spirit of God in man is key, because we have to allow the Spirit, the seed of the Spirit, to do its full work in us such that we bear fruit. Anytime we are walking in hatred, we are walking in burdens, we are walking in anxieties, we are walking in fear, know that we need more of the Spirit of God. Because when the presence of the Spirit of God is more around you, the fruit will start to manifest. Hallelujah. This is why we desperately need these fire-filled churches, right? Because we have millions of people going on Sundays to churches. They come in brokenhearted, they leave brokenhearted. There's no solution, because the Spirit of God is absent. The devil will work his best to keep the spirit out of the church. You can do all the church programs. You can build gymnasiums. You can give peanut and cotton candy and whatever you want. They will come in. They leave. No transformation. Programs will not substitute for the Spirit of God. Desperately need the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Next one, please. So how do we cooperate? That's my main topic. That's why I was setting the stage for that. Cooperating with the Holy Spirit, because we need to understand the personality of the Holy Spirit to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, right? Holy Spirit is a person. Next slide, Sarah, please. Holy Spirit has three aspects mainly. Holy Spirit has an intellect. Intellect means a mind of his own. He's not just a messenger of Jesus he's not an assistant to Jesus, but he's what? He's got his own mind. He's God himself. Volition or will. He's got his own will. He does things the way he wants at times. Emotions. Holy Spirit has emotions. Let's look at some of the verses. Next one, please. So number one, intellect. Look at Romans 8:27. He says, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. So the Spirit, Holy Spirit has what? A mind. He's got his own intellect. And it says he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And next one, I said volition or will. How do we know Holy Spirit has a will? Look at this. In 1 Corinthians 12:11, it says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. Not as we will. We can pray, Lord, give me this gift and that gift. But who chooses to give you what? The Holy Spirit. He wills it. So he has his own will. That's why not everybody operates in the gift of prophecy. Not everybody operates in the gift of tongues. Not everybody operates in gift of miracles. He distributes as he wills. So Holy Spirit has his own will. Next, Holy Spirit, this is the key thing I wanted to talk about today. The Holy Spirit has emotions. Thank you, Lord, And so look at Isaiah 63, verse 10. It says, but they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. What did Holy Spirit do? Therefore, he turned himself to become their enemy, and he fought against them. And Hosea 5:15 says, I will go away and return to my place, Holy Spirit says, till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me only. Thank you, Jesus. We sometimes think afflictions are from the devil. But let me tell you, as the psalmist said, it was good that I was afflicted. If not, I would have gone astray. Oh, hallelujah. If there were no afflictions, I would have been somewhere else. To be honest with you, I can tell you that. But afflictions kept me close to God. And he helped me relook at my life, reintrospect my life, and get my life back in order. Holy Spirit has emotions, my people. He's got emotions. You can grieve him. You can vex him. You can hurt him. And he even says, I will not strive with men forever. He's very kind. He's long-suffering. I'm not saying Holy Spirit will just leave you in the flick of a second. No. But he's got emotions. We got to handle him with love. Keep going. Next one. And in the book of Ephesians, Apostle Paul says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. This is New Covenant as well. We got to love the person of the Holy Spirit. Understand that what a privilege has been given to us. The Spirit of God, our aid, our helper, our comforter by us. We got to do all things to get our life and lifestyles in order, not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Well, I would say that the number one reason the American church's fire has been quenched is because of the lifestyle. We preach one thing, but we live something else. Our lifestyles got to be so in order and in line with the Holy Spirit. We got to pay much more attention to our walk with God. This is not easy. Concrete diligence in the way we walk with God. We don't have to follow the crowd. We don't have to follow the hustle bustle. You need to learn how to seclude and be with God and get it right with God. Amen. The good part is this, that the works on the cross, we're finished. It's done. No matter what you've done or what you will do, it's all done deal. Don't get condemned and weighed down by the works of the flesh. Your goal is to immediately snap back, repent, and get back into order. There is no big sin that God can forgive, okay? It's done. In the cosmic realm, once and for all, the price for sin has been paid. The minute you utter the blood of Jesus Christ and the name of Jesus, it's done. So it is settled, okay, my friends. That's why the Bible says a perfect sacrifice has been laid for all times. It's done. But what the thing is, we have to take time to pause and to reset. Fresh quickening, reset has to happen every day so that we don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Yes, even if we grieve, immediately saying, Lord, yes. Look at David. What a man of God. He didn't care about the throne. He didn't care about his title, his name. When he sinned against God with Bathsheba, he said, against thee, O Lord, and against thee have I only sinned and done what is wrong in thy sight. And he cries out to say, Lord, cast me not away from your presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Oh man, how many people will cry like that? Jesus. Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit. He took Holy Spirit seriously. But his counterpart Saul didn't do that. King Saul. Go to the next slide. Look at this. Yeah, that slide. Saul took the Holy Spirit for granted. He took him lightly. He had a calling. Saul had a great calling, to be honest with you. But guess what? He took him easy. And the Bible says, the 1 Samuel 16, Holy Spirit departed from Saul. And then came upon David. David took the Holy Spirit seriously. If you look at the book of Psalms, read it. You can weep along with it because it is you and I in there. Instead of David praying, crying out, we can cry out and say, Lord, cast me not away from your presence, because your presence is more important for me than anything else. David said, you can take away my throne, you can take away my name, but do not take away the Holy Spirit from me. That's how desperate, how dangerously, how afraid he was about Holy Spirit leaving him. And guess what? God took David seriously because of his stance. God loved David. And Jesus Christ came through the line of David. We need to have a heart like that. I'm not saying we'll have a perfect walk in the flesh, but let's audit ourselves periodically and say, God, remove all error from me. Let me continue to walk more and more. The Bible says, the path of the just is like a shining light that shineth more and more perfectly unto the perfect day. We'll become like a perfect light as we walk with God. Keep going. The next one, please. The next one I want to talk about. So the Holy Spirit has emotions. Next is Holy Spirit. We need to be sensitive to the timing of God. It's very important. How the topic again is, how do we cooperate? To cooperate with the Holy Spirit, the next one is, you need to learn to walk in time, in step with the timing of God. It's very key. One day I was in prayer, and the Lord reminded me, you know, I was so eager to do things for God. And the Lord said, no, it is not time. I want you to just sit. And he told me two examples from the Bible. God said, my son, Jesus, the Lord, this is not me just telling, this is from Revelation. God told me this. He said, Jesus was itching to do ministry from a very early age. But he waited patiently until God released him at the age of 30. Elijah the Tishbite was unknown to people. You know that? There were several prophets in the land, but nobody knew Elijah, because Elijah waited on the timing of God. And when he was released, it was in a different power and fire. Hallelujah. What am I saying? Wait on God. Don't rush. Don't do things out of the flesh. Wait on God, because if you wait on God, look at what happens when the timing of God is right. Suddenly the heavens were opened, and so the Spirit of God descending like a dove and resting on him. That's where the ministry of Christ started. When the Spirit of power rested on him, you are ready for prime time. Until then, you can do stuff with no power. And God doesn't approve it either. Patiently waiting on the timing of God. Very important. asking God when to take the left, when to take the right, when to go straight. Just getting into the presence of God. I would even say calm down. There's a British poster that says keep calm or something like that. What is it? Keep calm and carry on. Yeah. So similarly, keep calm and get into the presence of God before we move. It's very important. Calmness. Don't get frantic. Like I said, in this world, there are tribulations. That's the first rule of engagement that you need to know. Because early on, I remember just getting angry at God, saying, Lord, why is this happening? Why is that happening? God said, my son, in the plane of earth, in the earth realm, there are tribulations. But if you remain calm, I'll fight the battle for you. Oh, that shifted my dimension. I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Because until then, I was fighting and grappling. Lord, you are my God, why do I have to face these battles? But God said, I have designed the earth realm in such a way that there are tribulations here. But I want you to be patient and resort to me, and I will bring you out victorious. And we humans in the flesh, it is not easy for us to wait, or we just need it right now. It doesn't work like that with God. Those who wait upon God will mount up with wings like eagle. Until we perfect the art of waiting. That's why Apostle James said, let patience have its perfect work in you so that you will be complete and entire, wanting nothing. Jesus. It's tough. Oh, man, it's tough. Tough, tough, tough to just sit there and wait. But you're not doing waiting in an empty stance like the Buddhist, but you're waiting looking up to the hills. My eyes are lifted up to the hills from whence cometh my help. So you're waiting on the presence of God, hoping in him. David said in the book of Psalms, Lord, I hope and wait on thee. Do not let me be ashamed. Oh God, Jesus. The great travail in the presence of God. Great waiting and weeping in the presence of God before some things can be birthed. I realize that. It is no easy fix. If you pluck a flower before it blossoms, you know the condition of the flower. And many a times that happens. We just run right into things, or we want to do. No. There are things that God will bring to revelations through waiting. When I say revelation, manifestation. Next one, please. Hallelujah. So a posture, the right posture is key to receiving the presence of God. You know, Apostle Claire has mentioned many times about the posture. I mentioned earlier about the lifestyle. The lifestyle is key. We cannot quench the Holy Spirit fire. We cannot grieve the Holy Spirit. We got to start closing the gaps and cracks of our lifestyles that lets the fire be quenched. We got to stop that. We got to introspect and see, Lord, where is it? The enemy is having an open door in my life. And let's stop grieving the Holy Spirit. So we need a fresh quickening, fresh reset daily. Every time you wake up in the morning, seek him early and ensure don't leave that prayer closet until you get a fresh quickening or energizing of the Holy Spirit. You will feel him. Without that, don't get up, because it will be very tough to face that day otherwise. Because what did I say? It's like that pulling of that tooth. Without the anesthetic, it's painful, my friends. You need the Holy Spirit so that you can wade through that day. Silence is key. You know, another big barrier in the Western culture is the noise. TV, phone, laptops. Continually, mind is bombarded with noise and turbulence. To receive the Holy Spirit, we got to have the posture of silence. Jesus, even after healing the multitudes and ministering, he took time away to be alone. Oh, that's where the refueling happens. Nothing. No phone, no TV, nothing. Just sit and get reset. And once again, get reset on who I am in God, what I mean to God, and be grateful to the finished works on the cross. Know that you are just of God, and you will live by faith. So that reset time is so important. And Dan and I were talking earlier, and we were saying, last week I went to a conference in California, and man, what a good reset time. Powerful worship leaders like Misty Edwards and Chris Wallet and Cheon, powerful fire. Good to reset, get a reset. Go somewhere for a conference or go somewhere and get your introspect changed a little bit. Repentance is key. You know, we've heard this. Repentance is key. When I say repentance, you're not going to sit there and beat down yourself for every sin you committed. But what you do is you quickly recognize the error you committed and you confess it before God and then keep moving. Everything is under the blood, guys. All you got to do is recognize your error and then get back to track. That's all. God is not wanting you to beat yourself down or condemn yourself, no matter how bad it is. He knew very well the error consciousness of man, and he paid for it. And that's where the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. Faith in what? Faith in the new identity God has given us. Even though our flesh is kicking and screaming and doing errors, we still operate in faith, knowing that we are born again. And that part of ourself, the flesh, is condemned and put away with. It's good to be, but again, it's good to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and quickly catch when there is error and make reconciliation or recompense as necessary. Hallelujah. Keep going to the next slide, please. So what do we do going from here? Joshua 3:5, we remember this verse says, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Joshua's advice to Israelites was simple. He said, guys, listen, we've been going through the cycle of defeat, failures, attacks, burdens, over and over again. Let's stop this. Let's do what? Sanctify yourselves. Take some time to set apart, maybe skip a meal. Fast. Seek the face of the Lord. Do a reset. When you start to take God seriously, when you take Holy Spirit seriously, He is going to take you seriously. And guess what happens? The Lord will do wonders among you. We all have tasted this before. There is no crown without a cross. There is a pain. There is pain involved in the offering, as Matt Redman's song says. There's pain in the offering, but blessed be the name of the Lord, because it is all worth it. Because He is, once you set yourself apart, sanctify yourselves, guess what? The workings of the Lord will start accelerating in your life. You'll go into more of divine acceleration, and your mourning will turn to dancing. Your ashes will turn to beauty. Take time, my friends. If there's one message, one thing that I want to impart today is, let's be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Let's not grieve Him. Let's not quench the fire. Let's not vex Him. Let's pay careful attention and be in an attitude of prayer and the right posture. Amen. Let's close our eyes. I want to say a word of prayer. Let's take a couple of minutes. I would say just to tell the Holy Spirit, Lord, sorry for all the things that we've grieved Him of. Just take a couple of minutes, because it is very easy for me to call you up front and say, who wants prayer right now? Just come on. Guess what? That prayer doesn't stick on you, because if your lifestyle is still the same, nothing happens. But if you repent, as the book of Acts says, repent means turning away from the error, the times of refreshing will come upon you. If you reset like that, the wind of the Holy Spirit will blow upon you. So take a couple of minutes just to, come on, you can open your mouth and just, you want to praise God, whatever you want to do. Take a few minutes. Speak in tongues, whatever it might be. Just say, Holy Spirit, if I've grieved you in any areas before, I ask for your forgiveness. Be flaming brightly in my life, God. I want the fire of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to be a light that is under the bushel. I want to be like the light on the top of the mountain. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, God, Lord. Holy Spirit, come. Oh, wind of God, blow here, oh, Master. The refreshing of God, let it come, oh, God. We need you, Master. We want to be transformed and then transform everyone around us for your glory, oh, God. Jesus. Hallelujah.